Nehemiah chapter 2. Listen, are you getting as excited about Nehemiah as I am? Was it just me? All right, Nehemiah 2. Nehemiah, the king's cupbearer, chapter 1. He hears news from his brothers. One of my brethren came, a certain men of Judah. Was it his blood brother? I don't know. Was it his brother, like, you know, same nation? Well, at least that. But he gives him a report. Oh, it's bad at Jerusalem, and things are going real bad. And God moves in his heart to give him a heart, the heart of Jesus Christ for his city. So he's a cupbearer, so he's in a kind of unique situation. What a coincidence. A rabbi friend tells, coincidence isn't a kosher word, you know. He happens to be working for the king. King says, listen, you look all bummed out. What's your problem? What's ailing you? He says, never been sad in my sight before. This is nothing but sadness of heart. Well, you know, why shouldn't I be bummed out? My forebears, my late greats, all their, you know, sepulchres are destroyed, the walls are broken down, the gates are burned with fire. Okay, what do you want? I kind of like him a little bit, this king, you know. All right, what do you want? You know, and he's been praying, he's been fasting, he's been pouring out his heart to the Lord, and he's got a plan. I think we do well when we pray, and I think we do well when we have a plan. I think we need both of those. I think most of us are generally broken one direction. We don't plan, we just pray. That's good. I mean, prayer's good. I'm not going to speak evil of prayer. But I think it's important that he has a plan, so when the king asks him, okay, what do you want? Well, come up with something. Let me get back to you, king. You know, you get one shot at this deal. So I think planning is good. Now, planning without prayer is that welcome to my life. You know, I've said before, and I don't say this, you know, with any great pride, certainly not, but prayer's not my long suit. I have plans all the time, so I get far along in the plans and I'll think, oh yeah, check with headquarters. Lord, bless my plans. How about if he originates the plans and gives them to me? He'll bless them. So I think, you know, in the planning, even in the early planning stages when we're still fleshing it out, involve God. Well, I'm learning more and more to do that. I think we need both of those things. So he comes and he has a plan. So he tells the king the whole thing. Well, I want to go to, you know, Jerusalem. How long are you going to be gone? Turns out, by the way, 12 years, you know. And, I'm going to need wood. I'm going to need armed guard. I'm going to need letters from the king. By the way, I'm going to need some timber. I'm a cupbearer, you know. Not too big in the timber department. But king, you got forests, don't you? So basically, I want you to underwrite the whole thing, you know. Get your checkbook out. This is going to cost you. Bold. Arrogant? No. You know, I think sometimes, like, we ask God to bless our food, you know. I think that's a good idea. He's like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. That's a big, tall order. I spoke the universe into existence. Blessing them, you know, peas and carrots, that might tax me. That might take me right to the end of... Ask big. He's a big God. Ask big. I don't know. I think we honor him when we exercise faith in him. We'll talk about this Sunday morning. I've already been studying, but you know, if you have faith, you know, you can move mountains. You know, bring that back, reel that back in. If you have faith in God, I don't want you to have faith in faith. We'll talk about that again Sunday morning. If you have faith in God, the object of your faith is God, and he can do anything. And it honors him when we have faith. So he asks real big, and the king says, yeah, okay. So on he goes. And so we're going to pick up let's just, you know, start in verse 8 of chapter 2, just kind of get a running start at this. A letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to, and this is what I wanted to pick up, the good hand of my God upon me. Is God good? Yeah. Is God a blessing God? Yeah. Is he your heavenly Father? Yeah. I've been reminded, this is in some of the things I've been listening to, some of the things I've been studying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Jesus said so. What changes the complexion of that whole teaching is when he calls God Father. Hey, you can pray to God, he's your Father. I'm sure like they're Pharisees on tilt. You don't understand, because we think of that all the time. We're very kind of cavalier about that. They collectively, the nation Israel, thought of God as their Father collectively, nationally, not individually. They didn't call out Father God, Daddy. They wouldn't have done that. Jesus says, oh yeah, when you pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. And they're all like, what? Yeah, he's your Father. That kind of changes the rules of the game a little bit. The good hand of my God was upon me because he loves us, because he is good, because he's gracious, because he's, when he's got a plan and he wants to involve you and be part, you know, can he do this without Nehemiah? Sure, he would be reading a book with a different guy's name. Nehemiah says, hey, Lord, I want to be part of what's going on. God's preparing his heart. Because here's what I always want to think about, you know, and I want to, if he wants to win this community for the Savior, he can do it with or without me. I want in. But if I say, if I start, you know, being all selfish and my life is all about me, he'll say, well, I'll get it done. I'll just get it done without you. Thank you very much. No, I want to be involved. I want the good hand of my God to be upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Okay, so I'm not a runaway slave or nothing like this. I've got authority here. I've got permission. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Listen, we've talked about this at length, but this is a big point. I'm going to serve God. There are demon influences in this community that says, oh, you think so? Sanballat here is typologically is Satan. I can't remember what his name means. It wasn't important to me. He's the governor of Assyria. We've read in the Elephantine Papyrus at about the same time. Doesn't matter. What he is to us is he's opposing the work, the plan of God. If you want to do something for the Lord, remember the verse that tells us, yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. Now, I want you to think. This is an exercise, and you've never done this before, probably. I want you to think like a demon, okay? We're going to hire you on, put you on the wrong team. You know? You think like a demon thinks. You've got some people's marriage so messed up, it's going sideways, it's headed for divorce court. Now, you come along, and you'll say, I can help. I can pray. I can stand with you. I can instruct. I can help. I've seen worse. I've seen God do a lot more with a lot less. Let's pray together. Let's get together. Let's meet and let's see if we can't fix this and save us from divorce. Now you're the demon, right? Where's your attack gonna be? On that couple, that person wants to help. And most probably on their marriage, welcome to my life. So I'm doing marriage counseling. Brace for impact, honey. We know. We almost laugh. It's got, and some of a sudden I'm like getting on her case, and she's like, and I didn't mean that. How come she's all upset? What? And oh, we're doing, oh, and, okay, come on over here. We got to pray. And it's almost like, you know what I mean? Like everything, we're going along, and everything's smooth. No bumps in the road. I mean, the regular stuff. And all of a sudden, you know, there's turbulent waters. I'm like, what is oh, satanic involvement in our lives. Of course. We're trying to help somebody who's under Satan's dominion, who's got a portion in their life, and we're going to go in to his kingdom, free these captives, these hostages, and bring them back over where they belong. And he's saying, you think you're gonna, huh? And he's got his chest all puffed out, and he's all, Sanballat and Tobiah. As soon as you do, and it's not like when this isn't surprising. So when there's hostility, when there's Satan shows up, it's not that you're on the wrong track. It's that you're very, very likely on the right track. Now, there's no sense, because I know a lot of Christians are like, I gotta stick my head out of a foxhole. Yeah, Satan's gonna blow it. Stop that. There's no scripture ever tells us to fear Satan. Just write it down. Now, it's not like we can oppose him because we're stronger, we're smarter, we're more clever. We belong to a certain religion, right? I'm the guy with the collar turned on backwards, right? I can speak Latin. I got holy water. I got a super soaker full of it. Satan's in big trouble, boy. I'll tell you what. That's ridiculous. So you're going to sally forth and do battle with Satan? I'm going to stay back here. I got the bandages for whatever's left. You know what I mean? We don't take them on the power of our own strength, but our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, has given us power to tread on snakes and scorpions. It's not like we're looking for a fight. We're going to free the captives. We're gonna show up seeking the welfare of the children of Israel. The children of Israel is, does anyone know what Israel means? He changes Jacob's name. Jacob, deceiver, heel grabber, literally. He changes, that's not working with me. I'm changing name from now on. It's going to be Israel. Nobody? You're the Wednesday night crowd. You got to know the stuff. Ruled by God. You know, it might say a prince with God in your gloss, but it's basically ruled by God. Okay? You're going to show up and you're going to seek the welfare of those who are ruled by God? Or get them out of that ruled by Satan team over to the ruled by God team? Sanballat and Tobiah, they're going to go nuts on you. They're going to go sideways. You're shaking the gates of hell. The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against you. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Tobiah, interesting name. You probably wouldn't know it. I'll just give it to you. God is good. That's what his name means. He looks like he's one of us. So we have enemies from within and from without. You know, some enemies, they look like us. They speak the God talk. They know all the right things to say. Tobiah is very upset about someone coming to seek to... Why? Why? Because some people are just on the other side. And they're going to be. And they're agents of Satan. Some wittingly, some unwittingly. Does it matter? And they're gonna dig their heels in, and they're gonna. I was thinking of work that we've done in the past, and well, saying too much, you know, people who thought they were being helpful and thought they were being godly and thought they were doing a work and just standing in God's way. You know what I'm talking about, and I don't care. I don't care if you're saying you will not serve God, or you just gumming up the works by your... It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we have to understand that I'm going to serve God and there's going to be opposition. And it's not like bring it. It's like we're not looking for a fight, but it's going to happen. And so we're just going to godly overcome the obstacles. That's all there is to it. Because that's what Nehemiah does, okay? He says, listen, you give me a heart for this city, God. I'm gonna deliver this city to you. I'm gonna build up some walls. We're gonna do some reform. We're gonna call people to repentance. We're gonna do some stuff. And Sanballat and Tobiah show up. It's not like he's thinking like, oh, okay, now I can't do it. He's like, all right, God's called me. His good hand is upon me. Look out, Sanballat and Tobiah. You're gonna end up with the fuzzy end of the lollipop. You want to tangle with Jesus Christ? I don't recommend that. Yeah, he comes back. The Antichrist is going to oppose him. It's going to be the epic battle of the ages. Oh, stay tuned. This is going to be, you know, featured on pay-per-view. No, Jesus is going to destroy him with the brightness of his coming, with one word from his mouth. It's not like Satan and God are like, you know, these two epic opponents. It's like this God, and then there's everything else. This creator, and then this created. Now, Satan might be above us, but he's not like, he has as much chance of overcoming God as spinach does, or any other created thing. Let's keep moving, because I'd like to get chapter 2 all done tonight, and I'm not going very far or fast, am I? So I came to Jerusalem, and I was there 3 days. So for 3 days, he doesn't do anything. What's that? Jet lag or donkey lag or their version of, you know, I'm going to rest. I think he's Sabbath. I think he's going to get in touch with God. I think he's not going to let's run out and let's, you know, sally forth, let's, you know, put our sword on and just win the world. I got to check with headquarters. I got to get a sense of like where God's, what does he want me to do first? And the work of God is urgent, but there's no rush. And his timing is bother, you know, to pray. Take time out for prayer. So it's 3 days, and I have an idea he's checking with God. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. Donkey, camel, don't know, a beast. Why is he doing this by night? To be secretive, to be sure. Why is he just coming right out and telling everybody what's going on? I don't think that's a good idea at all either. You know what I mean? I think that's like, I have a vision. I think God's moving in this direction. Let me tell you what it is. Now I get a couple of people, I don't think that's a good idea at all. I think it's kind of stupid. And have you thought about this? And all of a sudden, now I'm like, you know, now it's all deflated and nobody's on board. And you know what I mean? I think like, let me take get a lay of the land. Let me see, you know, what's going on. So when I present the plan, I have all, you know, some of the details worked out. Me and Suze have this thing. Relax, I'm not going to throw you into the bus. Every time I say a name, she sits up a little bit like, I rarely say anything really disparaging about, I'm kind of fond of her, so I don't say too much. But so we have this thing, is like I'm kind of thinking this thing, I'm kind of fleshing it out. And then when I bring it to her and decide, because I like, you know, her early on in the process, I like her mind on something. But there's almost kind of like this part where I have to like, I got to get to at least this point. So when I say, because all the questions are going to come, and I'm like, I feel like such a like, you know, well, I don't know that part. I don't know that part. Well, I haven't thought of that part yet. Well, I didn't figure that out yet. Well, what about this? Well, I don't know. I don't know that yet. So I kind of like, but I want her early on in the process so she can help me answer some of them questions, but she has to like, you know, ask the questions. So we have this weird little kabuki dance we do where I'm trying to like, you know, trying to flesh out an idea and use her and have her, but she's still asking me all the questions that I haven't answered yet because I'm trying to get her on board to answer some of these questions. It's really weird. I should tape it sometime and play it. I think it would be funny, you know what I mean? Just because, the dynamic, you know what I mean? Because I think she's bright and spiritual, and I want her on my team early on in the process. But the problem is all those questions, and I'm trying to tell her, okay, you know, if I was better at presenting it, okay, I thought of this. I've got like to about first base in this big plan. Okay, I got like this far. Okay, and so don't ask me nothing. If I said it that way, it'd probably be, and then she'd probably like help build from there. But she asks all these questions, and so I don't know exactly when at what point to, you know, bring her in. It's we've talked about this. So when should I, you know, how far should I be down? Because if I'm very far down the process and I'm thinking like I'm gonna do this, and I got all the questions answered, then I bring her and she feels like, well, what am I, chop liver? How come you didn't? She doesn't say that. She doesn't say like that. It's like not nagging me, but she wants to like, you know, so you get this all developed and stuff. Now you're, and I'm thinking like, well, I should have done it earlier, but then I didn't have all the answers. It's kind of funny. Like I say, I should, never mind. Small point. Yeah, I rose at night, I and a few men with me. Neither told I any man what God had put in my heart to do in Jerusalem. Because God did it. And I figured, like, you know, by the way, again, you know, haste makes waste. If God's in it, then, you know, it'll keep for tomorrow or the next day. But I'm going to check it out anyway. So there was, you got a few guys with him. He's got a this beast, this animal, this donkey, I'm guessing, or camel. I went out by night, again, because that's when people are asleep. And by the way, if you're going to be a leader, you're going to be awake sometimes when people are asleep on both ends, you know. It's just, if you're going to be, like, working for God, and I don't mean that, I don't say that in some sort of sanctimonious way. If you're all in, Lord, I'm yours, I'm your servant, I'll do whatever you want. I don't know you're going to get, like, 12 hours of sleep every night. You're going to be up some night not sleeping, just praying. Just because God does that to you. Don't worry, you won't die. You won't. You might think so sometime. If you're like me, like, my mind is winding and just racing. I can't slow it down. I can't get to sleep. And I'm thinking God's prompting me at that point to pray. So if I start praying, but you can get very sleepy in a hurry then. You know how that works out. But if you pray, sometimes, like, you don't get much sleep that night. You like 15, 20 minutes at a time, and you wake up every half hour or something like that, and you pray some more and stuff like that. And you get in the morning, you think, like, oh, no, the alarm goes off. I got to get up, and I got to go to work. You don't die. I mean, you might think, but you just don't. You know what I mean? God just gives you enough to get by. He does. But that's what it is, you know, with the Lord. People are sleeping, but you're not, okay? Sometimes. I'm not saying, you know, Psalm says he gives his beloved sleep. So it's not like, and he knows it's a good thing to, and he knows you need your beauty sleep. You know, I look at some of you, no, I'm joking. But you'll be up sometimes. You know what I mean. I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and I viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, the gates thereof were consumed with fire. He's going out the west, and he's going counterclockwise around the city. Okay, if you looked at it like north and south, east and west, like we do on a map, right? He's going out west, and he's going south, or, you know what I mean? And he's going, like I say, counterclockwise around the city. So he's looking at the walls. He's got to understand, okay, what are we up against? What are we trying to do here? He's looking at the magnitude. And no doubt he's doing this little, like, Jericho march prayer kind of thing. You know what I mean? He's praying. He's checking the situation. There are parts where he's probably thinking, okay, this is not too bad here. And what he's doing is these are neighborhoods. Think of them like that. And he's praying, he's developing his plan. And I went unto the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. So at one point by the king's pool, it's so broken down, it's so much rubble, even his animal can't get through. Now you probably think more of a camel than a donkey. Donkeys, they can climb up sideways up a wall practically. I mean, you know what I mean? They're pretty sure-footed beasts. But maybe it's so much, it's so bad. At one point, he can't even get by there, is the idea. Then when I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. So around he goes, he's checking it all out, he's looking at all that. And you have some of you might have a little map. That's very handy. You know, I looked that over. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. All right? So he's got to fill in all the blanks. He's got to answer things in his own mind, so when he presents it, he has the answers, okay? Then said I, and by the way, count the cost. Yeah, he's making an assessment. Jesus says that in several of his teachings and several of his, I was going to say sermons, his parables. Count the cost. He does. I think he expects us to. I mean, Start a church down in Waterville. Okay, you know, so we just jumped in and there we go. You know, we bought a $300,000 building and just, why not, right? I mean, there was prayer, there was, you know. Do you have $300,000, by the way? Extra $300,000? I don't either. So we're in deep weeds if the thing doesn't go. I mean, bankruptcy doesn't look like an option I want to take. So it's kind of like, you know, we had to make sure God was in. We looked around, we talked, we met with different ones, we saw realtors, we did what we, you know, and that's still kind of like a work in progress, still fleshing out, still praying about it, still. But I will say this, the good hand of our God is upon us, is it not? How many bills we have unpaid right at this time? Zero. Hold up the universal sign for amount of bills that we have unpaid. God's been very gracious to us, has he not? I think so. I praise him for like where God guides, God provides. That had to be kind of like in my own thinking. That kind of had to be one of like the overarching kind of like promises that I kind of leaned on really hard. You know, I don't know. I don't know many guys personally just write out a check and buy a church and you know start holding meetings. Not many millionaires start out, you know, as preachers and stuff like that. Where's the faith? You know, if you do that, I don't need God. I got my checkbook right here. You know, here's your money. We put a sign out. Okay, services at such and such a time. So, at some point, God should be involved, shouldn't he? He never does it that way. He's always, you know, when he calls on something, there's always that step of faith, and there's never any getting around it. But I don't see how this is going to work. I called you to do it. I want you to take that step. Now, it's not a stupid thing. It's an assessment. It's a checking out. It's looking over. It's doing some research. I think all those things are like important things. At what point do you bring the rulers in and the Jews and the guys who are doing the work, the priests and the nobles? Verse 17, then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Is it important to build these walls? Why? They're living there, and they've been living there for 70 years without walls and burned down gates. Is that a problem? Yeah, we're a reproach. We can't keep the bad guys out. You have walls in your house? Why? Well, they serve a purpose. They hold up the roof. is that important? Yeah, it kind of is. It keeps the weather out. It keeps the bad. Listen, when you're not there, do you lock it? Yeah. When you are in there and you're asleep, do you lock it? Yeah. It keeps the bad guys out. We can have life. We can do life inside these walls. We have walls to keep stuff out and to keep stuff in. Doors the same way. The doors, the gates are symbolic of what we allow to enter and what we don't. Is your life like that? Is it important? Yeah, if you don't have walls, your life is a reproach. Do you understand that? Everything goes. I'm just all affirming and all accepting. We don't have any kind of, no level of morality or anything. You know, whatever, just whatever. You know, people come here and they want to worship God. Or Buddha, or I don't care. I mean, at the end of the day, really, right? It's just semantics, right? You want to marry a woman, or you want to marry another man? I don't care. I mean, really, come on. How can we get our, knickers in an uproar about dumb stuff like that? No rules, no, just every man does what. And by the way, that's the mantra. More and more, all over the nation, but more and more in the churches as well. And it's sad. Listen, it's a reproach. It's abysmal. I don't care what this word says. God says, I don't care what you say then. I ain't going to bless nothing. You're just going to, what are you, some sort of country club? What's the, listen to one guy, and he was teaching at this early on in his career. They invite him down, I think it was in Florida somewhere, he was teaching at this convention of pastors, and he said it was a liberal denomination. He didn't name it. And one of the pastors was, they had a question and answer. He was supposed to speak on how to attract young people to church. And so he's talking about, you know, Jesus, and you got to be excited and on fire. And, when, you know, if you tell him about the resurrection and his awesome power and what he can do for you, you have that enthusiasm. Okay. And he was, you know, talking and stuff like that. And one of the, you know, question of the pastor said, well, what if you don't believe in the resurrection? And he's like, well, then you're going to hell. Here it is. Why would you want to bring, you know, young people into that mess, into that? Why are you trying to affect their lives for good and for God? For what? If you don't even believe in the right? He was lecturing them hard, and he's looking around, and he's not getting any traction with anybody else as he's kind of like beating up on this guy. And they're kind of like, you know, he says, how many of you guys believe in the resurrection? And probably 30% raised their hand. That's pastors. Okay, and pastorettes of a denomination that I don't know the name of. Listen, that's a reproach. We need walls. We got to have them. They're very, very important. There are some things in my life I just don't allow. I'm not like everybody else. You know, I'm kind of already starting in Psalm 1, Psalm 2, you know, because we, you know, not this Sunday night, but next Sunday night, we're going to be teaching the Psalms. Very excited. Psalm 1, what man is blessed? I mean, think about it. Whose life is like a tree planted by, you know, living water, by, you know, water, who's, you know, gives forth all his fruit and his leaves and don't wither? Who's that person? The one who's all about the Word of God. Now, if you're, I don't care about God, God's not going to rule him. Now you're Psalm 2. You're the nations that rage. You're imagining a vain thing. What is it like out there outside this building? Is it Psalm 1 or is it Psalm 2? It's Psalm 2. That's what we read about in the newspaper all the time. We don't want no one to rule over us. They're imagining a vain thing, okay? We don't want God to rule over us, him nor his son. We don't want to hear about morality. We don't want to hear about the second coming. We don't want to hear what's right. We don't want to hear what's wrong. We don't love walls. We don't have no use for them. And the only thing that's wrong is you saying that my lifestyle's wrong to any degree. And that's the only thing wrong that's left. No. We're a reproach, and we're ridiculous, and we're a joke. We have to live a wall, so we understand that in our own life, okay? And it's not being exclusive or anything else. It's just that this boundary's got to set in our life. That's the whole thing. I'm keeping stuff out of my house. It would be a horrible thing if somebody broke in and shot my family. It'd be a worse thing if I, like, leave the door unlocked and invite somebody in. It'd be worse if I brought that person in to do that and I didn't put up any walls whatsoever. Well, okay, shooting your family is a little dramatic, but I know parents who don't have any walls, any restrictions for their children on the use of the internet, the music they listen to, and the kids are getting shot by degrees, little by little, they're losing their lives. It didn't just happen all at once. Oh, you need walls. Why not? Because if you don't have them, walls, you're a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. Now, I want to tell them, okay, listen, God's in this, guys. We can do this. God's in this. Let me tell you what happened when I talked to the king. Now their ears are perking up and they're thinking, wait a second, this guy's got a plan, and obviously God's doing some maneuvering. He got what? He gave you a check for timber and you carried all what? He gave you armed guards. What? You're kidding me, right? No, I'm telling you, God was moving in his heart. I told him about the good hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, I'm in the end of verse 18, let us rise up and build. So they strengthen their hands for this good work. This is what leaders do. They lead. They find out where God is going into the first ones who go there, and they say, follow me. You know, Paul said that, follow me as I follow God, as I follow the Lord. You remember that? You think, oh, that's a ridiculous statement. What are you, so arrogant? What do you think, you're perfect or something? No, I think I'm a leader. I think God's called me to lead and to go in a certain direction. And I want you to follow me. I think you should, you know, this is where God's telling us to go. I know he's spoken in my heart. Look, and I can show you the things and the stuff like that. And sometimes I do like that because that's the whole thing is what leaders do. I mean, they lead. You know, I got really convicted. Me and Susan were talking about, like, what are you going to do about this? When you've been praying about this. When you, and I'm thinking about these different things in my life, like, you know, I don't care how wealthy you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how stupid you are. Something that's level to all of us. We got 24 hours in every day, 7 days a week. And we can only, there's no, well, you know, my spare time. Spare time? Who is spare time? Can somebody show me spare time? Because I've never seen spare time yet, okay? So we have to pick what we can do and what we can't do. And we have to allocate our hours towards certain things. And I don't spend all my time doing, like, really stupid things. All the time. I believe in Sabbathing. I believe in relaxing. Okay? That's kind of really important. God didn't design us to work continuously without ever taking a break. In America, we think that's honorable. I think hard work is honorable. You never Sabbath? That might be honorable, but it's stupid. You're going to just have an early grave, okay? You're gonna need the Sabbath. You're gonna need to rest. You're gonna be relaxed. Now, having said that, all the rest of the time you got, I mean, you're gonna eat so much. You're gonna brush your teeth. You're gonna spend time, you know, doing the hygiene thing, the sleep thing, the eat thing, the things that we, the non-negotiable things. So now our this much hours shrunk down to this much. What are you gonna spend your time doing? Well, I was talking to Susan about it. I said, well, you know, what about this? What about this? I could use this night if we stopped doing this. And what about if we, and you know, I like the concept of date night. I'd really like that, you know, because, you know, we teach that. We talk about that. We don't do that. It just doesn't seem to, you know, we drove down here together. We talked. We visited. That was kind of like a date. I'll buy you coffee on the way home. It'll be great, huh? Okay, so, you know, we have our little, this is our idea of date night. I mean, you know, welcome to our date. This is as close as we get. But I was wondering, you know, like, I don't want to, like, I'm trying to think of something that's really, like, because here's the thing, like, if we're snowed in here and we're snowed and there's a lot of snow and stuff like that, people with shovels and, you know, moving snow around so that people can get here, I think that's a good thing. If I came here and I saw my pastor always with a shovel in his hand and doing stuff, like, I'd be discouraged. I think his time could be served better doing other things, more spiritual, preparatory praying. He can move some snow. I mean, it's not like I feel like I'm too sexy for my shirt and shovels beneath me. You got to understand my heart. I don't. But I have only so many hours to spend, and I got to, like, people ask me, like, you know, I was talking to a friend this the other day, and he says, you got, like, you do this, and you do at church, and you teach three times a week? He says, what do you do? How do you do that? I says, there's no downtime. There's, like, I'm 3 or 4 days away from the final exam, and I'm going to deliver the goods. I'm not going to show up like, oh, I don't know, I haven't looked at Nehemiah yet. I'm just going to guess. We're just going to go through it, and I hope it all comes out all right. I can't do that. So I got to spend time doing this. And if I'm doing dumb stuff that anyone could do that other people should be doing, I don't know if I said that right, but please hear that right, even if I didn't say it right. You know what I mean? Because I don't think, like, When we have a work day here, I'm always here. I don't think we've ever had a work day when I wasn't here. But you should know, when Sunday rolls around, even before I do the work day, I have my Sunday stuff ready to go because I would spend it. It's more important to do this work than to do the building and grounds work. A lot of people can do that. But I feel like I have to, you know, show up, swing a hammer, you know, wield a paintbrush or whatever it is, because I'm trying to set a good example. And it's not like I think that work is beneath me, but I got to make sure that the important stuff is done first. That's all I'm saying, okay? Because we only got so many hours all the time. Because I talk to people about, you know, you usually read the Bible, it's like, oh, I got no time. Really? Really? Do you own a television set? Well, I own one, but I hardly watch it. You know, then you got more time than you need. Don't tell me. You know, don't have the time. You know, I don't even want to hear it. You know, if you don't, own a TV set and you don't ever watch it or listen to the radio or read a magazine and you're still too busy, we sit down, we'll talk about it. Because I can show you easy freed up time in your life and stuff like that. And you should, if you really are that super, super busy, go without meals. This is more important. It's that important, okay? I'm just telling. But I don't know how did I get off anyway. I don't know. I got to get back to it. Let's rise up and build so they strengthen the hands for the work. Okay? So they're all in. They're all excited. You know, the vision's been communicated. He rehearsed what God's been doing. He rehearsed how God moved in the king's heart and stuff like this. And now everyone's excited because the people generally, spiritual people will see spirituality. They'll see like a man with a vision. And they understand that where there's no vision, the people perish. And sometimes, you know, they can get on board about something that they think like, you know, they show up and he's like, I don't know. Well, maybe. And people aren't going to get fired up about that. He's got a plan. He's got the blessing of God. I will tell you this, though. He's not an engineer. He's not a builder. I like building, you know, I mean, literally building. I mean, I've been doing that my whole adult life. You know, I got an electrician's license. I've been in construction since 25 years old. That's like over a quarter of a century ago. I like to build. Well, God will very often call you. It's not in your line of expertise. Why is that? Because then there's no reliance on God. I was joking with Ken about that, you know. Why me? You know, why don't you go to Waterville and just start a church? Well, let's see, I've never been to one Bible class in my whole life, one day of Bible college. Marines, shoe shop, construction. Yeah, sure, I'll go. Who else? Who better? Send me. Yeah, you know, no training whatsoever, no real natural skills, and, you know, yeah. I'm willing, but that's how God's calling is very often. I will tell you, I was scared to death. Very often still I am. Really? I'm in way over my skis. God, help out. This is exactly where he wants me. Wait, Susan, tell you, we think we're like, we're in so far over our head. We have no idea. We're faking it and praying and hoping that God shows up and blesses all the time. She's like, oh, she looks like she's like also. No, she's not the same. We're both like kites in a hurricane, you know. This current's going to take us where it takes us, and we're not driving. We're not in charge. I'm not in charge. Let's keep moving. But when Sanballat the Horonite, we've only been introduced to him. He's going to gum up the works. He's going to be a thorn. I can tell you that right now. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian. Okay, good. Because there was only two of them before. Now we got all three stooges here all at once. Good. So that's how it is too. These little pus pockets. They always find somebody else to, you know, to be part of their posse, to team up, to gang up, to oppose God's work. And they're probably telling, you know, like, oh, you know, this is going to be rebellion, and this is, and they probably have their, like, spirit-sounding stuff to make it sound like, you know. So they get this Arabian guy in here. Geshem, by the way, means rain. Well, that's kind of funny to me. He's an Arabian. I think about it. Geshem, the Arabian, they laughed us to scorn and despised us. And said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? There's no rebellion going on. Hey, fool, check this out. I got the king's permission. See that timber? That came from the king's forest. I didn't just go in there with an axe and start cutting stuff. I mean, we'll talk about rebellion. You're going to be accused of things that are not true. Write it down. Get used to it. It's just the way it's going to be. Jesus knows that. He said that. Blessed are you when men what? Mock, ridicule, harass, and say all manner of evil against you falsely. It seems like I've given enough people enough ammunition over the years that they can say things about me truly. And I would have to say, right, that's right, I said it. I didn't mean to say it that way. I probably should have said it different. People have rebuked me, said, you shouldn't have said it. That was kind of cruel, and I came across it. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fair enough. But when people say that I said something that I didn't say, what do you do about that? You live with it. Matt sent me an email. It was something the NSA was going to broadcast all these, out all these pastors who've been on pornographic sites and tell all people, like, you know, these people who, with these, you know, God messages, look at what they're doing in their spare time. And so I got this email and said, no problems, no problem, squeaky clean, no problem at all. And then I thought to myself, oh, yeah, it is. They lie. You know, that's a problem. But then I thought, no problem, God, you're in charge of my reputation. Whatever. If people lie about me, I can't. There's nothing you can do about it. One, they're mocking. Two, they're lying. Oh, you're just trying to oppose the king. You bunch of rebels. You just, no. No, we're just trying to build a wall to keep out people like you, Sanballat, by the way. No, none of that stuff's true. And when people, ask you, well, I heard you said this, and I heard you, feel free to set them straight. That's all you can do. And reasonable, godly people say, oh, wow, that's, I'm pleased to hear that. I think that's great that you're, I don't know. All you can do is set the record straight best you can and trust God for your reputation. People attack Billy Graham. Why would they? You talk about someone who's been faithful for a long, long time, who hasn't really lived a scandalous life. Not that I could see. Sex scandal? Not so much. I don't think so. Money in the till? Skimming off the... I don't think so. His people scrupulously handle money. He collects a salary. He seems to have really been... And look at his message. Really, I mean, if you look at his stuff, really some smoke and gun kind of stuff there, right? Not so much. Jesus died for your sins. He always talks about the cross and Jesus dying for your sins, and you're a sinner and you should repent. I'm totally on board with that message. We heard that just a couple weeks ago on that, it's kind of like his farewell address kind of thing, People for years have attacked Billy Graham. I'm like, really? You're not going to live in such a way you're so squeaky clean. Listen, you're not perfect, right? One perfect guy showed up and they crucified him. And people said all manner of evil against him falsely. We looked at this a couple weeks back, right? He's a wine bibber and a glutton and a friend of sinners and this and this and this. And they lied about him in his trial. Oh, he said not to pay taxes, and he never said that. So I'm gonna win this area for Jesus. I'm gonna be part of what's going on here. I'm on board. Spirit of God, fill me, and then just brace for impact. Will there be ministry opportunities? Oh, they're all around us. The fields are white for harvest. They definitely are. There's ministry opportunities abound. Will we get our hands dirty? I guarantee you, we're going to be working with sinners. They're ridiculous people, and they've brought themselves into every sort of ridiculous situation you could possibly name. Will we get our hair mussed? Oh, yes. Will we cry a lot? Yes. Will people bite the hand that's reaching out to try to help them? Oh, often. Often. Well, why would I do this? This is ridiculous. Because our God wants us to. And that's the whole long and short of it. He's given us a heart like the heart of Jesus Christ for Jerusalem, weeping over it. He sees the brokenness. He sees that all the sin, all the wickedness, all the depravity, all the wrong choices, the broken homes. He sees all that. Can he use you? He's using a cupbearer to rebuild walls in Jerusalem. Can he use you? Yes. He's not a civil engineer. He's a guy who goes like this and says, yeah, King, I think it's okay. I don't think there's any poison in it. Here you go. That's what he does. And all of a sudden, he's building the walls of Jerusalem. Can he use you? I don't think it's your skill set that he's after. I really think what he wants is somebody who's totally on board. What's this thing you do? Will you rebel against the king? Then answered I them, said to them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Is there something in that for us? Oh, yeah. That's Nehemiah's way of saying, where God guides, God provides. The God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, regardless of what you say. And the naysayers, they'll say nay even after the wall's built. It don't matter. Don't try to convert mockers. You remember Jesus in Herod's presence? Herod's a mocker. He just wants to see Jesus do a magic trick. What does Jesus say to him? And the scripture says, and he answered him, not a word. Don't answer mockers. Don't try to win them over. You're not going to. They're not. Pray for them. Step right around them. Keep marching forward. I like plowboy, you know, ministry. I like the whole thing. Cause that's what I feel like. Not the plow. I feel like the ox, you know, head down. Just keep stepping forward. That's you know, I'm an ox for Jesus, you know. Just keep plowing. Just keep going. I answered them and said, no, God's going to prosper us. We're his servants. We will arise and we will build. But you have no portion or right in a memorial in Jerusalem. Your Psalm 2. We'll take that up when we get there. You're the one who says, we don't want God to rule over us. Well, fair enough. He won't. You won't, but we're on board. We're gonna keep doing what he does. People will lie about you. People will mock you. People who you thought were on your team. When I became a Christian, I thought, like, everyone around me is going to be, like, all, like, yay, this is great. Adam's, like, he was crazy. Now he's, like, sane and clothed in his right mind. And this is going to be so. No. It was a rude awakening, wasn't it, for you and for me both. But that's fine. I'm going to serve the Lord anyway. That's what our boy Nehemiah's. Now, next week, don't read ahead. I always say read ahead. Don't. It's the Jewish phone book. There's a lot of stuff here, and it's very. We have to pull it out and a little tease it out a little bit, but there's a lot of things here that are very important to our wall building, to our what we need to know. Okay, let's stand, let's pray, and Matt will lead us out of here in song. Father, as we look at this scripture and we think of our lives, I'd like to think that we're all in. I mean, with you, use us, give us a vision, help us to know what to do next, help us to have consecrated lives that you can bless. I think we've understood, Lord, that there will be those who oppose us. Your word says it explicitly. Help us not to mind, not to care, not to worry about what others think about us. At the end of the day, Lord, I mean, really, the only one we should worry about who thinks about us is you. I mean, your opinion counts. We just want to be found faithful. Bless, guide, direct. In Jesus' name, amen.